Good day to you. This is Pastor Greg Proctor of Victory Worship Center. I'm so pleased to have this opportunity to share this Resurrection Day message with you, those out in our podcast audience. Be sure and look us up on iTunes or Google Podcast. We go under the logo, Don't Miss Out. Don't miss out. That's our logo. That's our title. And we're going to share this message with you. We're going to do our best to try to recreate what we ministered from the pulpit on Sunday morning on this past Resurrection Day as we were celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We had audio difficulties, and that particular message was not recorded. So we're going to trust the Holy Spirit, and we're going to just open our mouth and let the Lord fill it, and we're going to dive into the Word of God. So if you've got your Bibles there handy, grab them if you would, and open up to the great Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. We're going to pull a foundational text or verses of Scripture from that 28th chapter. But while you're turning there, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we ask that you just open up our hearts, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, give us a wise and understanding heart to be able to receive the Word of God in truth, where our faith could be built, our faith could be loosed, and we could come to that next level that you would have for us. We're so thankful and so grateful for this time of year, this wonderful time where we know and understand that you demonstrated your love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. No one took his life. He laid his life freely down for us, and we thank you for that. Lord, as we open up our mouth wide, you fill it with the words you'd have us to say. By the power of the Holy Spirit, help each person listening be able to hear a fresh rhema word for their heart, their lives, their family, their situation today. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and together we all say amen and amen. So today the title of this message is Running to the Resurrection, so you and I will be ready for His return. Running to the Resurrection, and thus you and I will be ready for the return. Don't let anyone or anything stop you from running to the resurrection. Going and seeing that tomb for yourself, seeing that Jesus Christ is alive and well. He's not like any other religion on earth. All other religions, they are just that. They're man-made, and the one who authored them, the one who orchestrated them or originated them, they're dead and they're in the grave. But Jesus Christ, He is alive and well, and we know that because He's on the very throne of our heart. But if we're running to that resurrection, you and I, we will not only for ourselves be prepared for His return, but we'll be helping others to be prepared for that return. So in this message for Resurrection Day 2023, we're going to look at three areas that the enemy will try to use against you, that will try to use against me. And so we want to be in the place and the position where we'll let the Lord reveal any of these to us. So mark these down in your mind's eye. Put them in your Bible. Put them in your Bible app, whatever it might be, where you'll have them handy and you can pull from them later. Number one, the enemy will use Romans and the religious to keep you from coming to that empty tomb. Number two, he will use rocks and he'll use reality to keep you from coming to that empty tomb, to keep me from coming to that empty tomb. This is for sure. Number three, he'll use rejection, things of the past, your rights and your roles of the past to try to keep you and I from coming to that empty tomb. So let's read our text, if you would. Matthew chapter 28. Verse number one. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Mark that down. What are you looking for on this Resurrection Day 2023? Are you looking for a dead man in a grave? Are you looking for something that is more, something that is greater? Verse two. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Verse 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. Now notice in verse 8, this is where we get the title of our message. And they did run to bring his disciples word. Verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Verse 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Verse 11, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. So in these 11 verses of scripture, we see so much information. There is so much for you and I to pull from, so much for you and I to hold in the very forefront of our mind. And so we're going to try to break some things down out of these verses of scripture. We're going to go into the 27th chapter as well. And when we get done with what the Word of God says, we're going to be in a place and a position where we're going to be very excited about running to the resurrection. We're going to just be in that place where we want the fullness of what Jesus Christ brought to us by his death, burial, and resurrection, and what that means not only for us, but what it means that the Lord can do in us and through us. So just turn back just a few verses here, and let's look at Matthew chapter 27, and let's look at the Romans and the religious. Now, the devil, your enemy, my enemy, the one who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, he will use and he will bring evil covenants. He'll bring people together to work against you, to work against me. And so let's look at how he brings together the Romans and the religious. Matthew chapter 27, verse 61. Now, let's get the forethought here. It says in verse 61, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. In other words, these ladies, they were very dedicated to Jesus. And Mary Magdalene, she had what those seven demons cast out of her. She knew what it was like to serve the devil. She knew what it was like to be controlled by sin. She knew what it was like to have no hope. But Jesus Christ had reached down and touched her, and he had changed her life. And so she had followed him all the way there from the cross to that tomb. And so they're there waiting. Now, notice what happens as the enemy starts bringing together these evil covenants. Verse 62. Now, the next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priest and the Pharisees came together with Pilate. So here we have a type of the world church coming together with the world government at that point in time. And it's something for you and I to look out for as we see society changing, as we see attitudes changing, as we see mindsets changing, and we see covenants coming to place even today as we look all around the world that just a few months ago we wouldn't think would be possible. But here the enemy, he brings together the Romans and he brings together the religious, and they have a plan. And that plan is to keep people away from that tomb. They don't want the world to know that that tomb could not hold Jesus Christ. They don't want the world to know that Jesus Christ, that he died. But not only did he die, praise God, he resurrected. Verse 63. This was their plan. This was their word, saying, sir, we remember that deceiver, from the Greek, this word deceiver is imposter. Well, you and I, we know who the imposter is. It's not Jesus. It's the devil. Sir, We remember that that deceiver, that impostor, said while he was yet alive, "After 3 days I will rise again." Verse 64. "Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first." And notice what happens. We got the religious and we got the Romans coming together. Verse 65, "Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way and make it as sure as you can." So let's look at this. The religious, they wanted to have their church, but they wanted to have it their way, and they wanted to do what they wanted to do in the time period that they had allotted for themselves. They were not interested in letting God be God. And so they make this evil covenant with the Romans, and the Romans comes together with this world church. And so he has a statement for him. He says, "You go and you make this tomb as sure as you can, because you have a watch." Now, this word watch is where we get our English word from, the Greek word custody. Kustia is the Greek word, and we get our English word custody from that. It's a Roman sentry. Now, think about this. He said, you have your custody. You have something that you're supposed to watch over. You have something that you're supposed to control. And so he said, you make sure that nobody can get into that tomb. Now, we recognize and realize that they were talking about the disciples stealing that body away. But what we need to look at as we're meditating upon this word today is people do not want the church to present Jesus Christ in all power, in all glory, with all honor that is due unto him. And Jesus has all power. He has all honor. He has all glory. Because why? Because he has defeated hell, death, and the grave. And so this Roman sentry, they try to take custody of where Jesus was at. And so they come together. Well, you and I, we need to be very mindful of what's happening today, even with our own very own government, but governments around the world. Everything is preparing for a one world system. Everything is preparing for the mark of the beast. Everything is preparing for a cashless society. And so you and I need to be aware of that. And we need to be in the place and the position that no matter what is being presented, what is being told as truth, that we got to run to the resurrection. We got to go to that tomb over and over and just let our faith be loosed. Let our faith be built and then loosed to the reality that Jesus Christ is alive and well. And if we'll hold on to that, it'll change everything about our life. Now, the prince of the power of the air, you know, the Apostle Paul instructs us very much about the devil in Ephesians chapter 2 and in the book of Corinthians. He is that prince. He has power. He has an illusion that causes people to be blinded. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he causes people to not be able to see the truth. But he wants to bring together a world government. He wants to bring together a world church. And so he's going to place situations and circumstances to try to keep people away from seeing, from understanding, from realizing, from believing in the heart and confessing them with the mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So we need to be in the place and the position where we stand strong to the reality that we present Jesus Christ as he is in all of his glory, that he is a Lord that loves, he is a Lord that corrects, he is a Lord that saves, he is a Lord that heals, all of those things. But it's available, and it should be very mindful in our hearts, and we should live a life, and we should speak accordingly to be able to bring that truth to others. Now, let's look. We're right here in this 27th chapter. Let's read verse 65 and let's read verse 66 and let's see not only does the enemy use the Romans and the religious, but as he uses those two in a covenant, what does he bring forth out of them? He brings forth out of them the rocks and the reality. In other words, he tries to block off access to that tomb. He wants people to think that Jesus is still dead. And so there is a stone, a rock that has been rolled over that tomb. And then there's situations and circumstances about your reality, my reality, that may be a contradiction to God's covenant. And he wants us to settle to live in that contradiction rather than allowing the word of God to break that contradiction and bring us into the covenant. Look what it said. Now, rereading verse 65, Pilate said unto them, "You have a watch. Go your way and make it as sure as you can." Verse 66, "So they went and made the sepulcher sure." In other words, they put this rock, they put this stone, they rolled this stone in front of the sepulcher, not to keep Jesus in, but to keep people out, sealing the stone and setting a watch, custody. They're taking custody of this resurrection area. They're going to try to control it. They're going to try to manipulate it. They're going to try to shift it and present a narrative that is contrary to what thus saith the Lord. Sound familiar? We deal with those very same things today. You got to be very cautious what you listen to, what you read, what you watch, because all of those things, the prince of the power of the air, he wants to manipulate you. He wants to confuse you. He wants to get you in the place of doubt, and where you'll be controlled by a spirit of fear rather than a power and love and a sound mind. Now, notice what they said here. They said they sealed this resurrection tomb. They sealed it with a stone. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 is an interesting chapter, and we don't have time, but I just want to read you one verse. But I admonish you to study this 32nd chapter, because in this 32nd chapter, it's about the song of Moses, and it's about the song of the redeemed, and everything that is going to be going on. We learn from history, but we get a prophetic picture. But I want you to see one verse in Deuteronomy 32:31. It says, "For their rock," little r, "is not as our rock," capital R. In other words, talking about the devil and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. "For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges." So you have a promise. You have a promise that Jesus Christ, he is that chief cornerstone. And when his feet land on the Mount of Olives, every other rock is going to be turned to sand. Everything else is going to bow down. But here they are. They're trying to put their rock over our rock. They're trying to keep people from seeing that Jesus is alive and well, that Jesus has resurrected, that Jesus paid the price, that he become the lamb that was slain, where he could be raised up, and one day he's going to return, not as a lamb, but as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so we want to be running to this resurrection where we'll be ready for his return. So they sealed this with a stone, and they set a watch. They set a custia, a custody over it. Now, I love it, because this same Greek word that is translated here, sealing the stone, is where God talks about you and I. Now, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he's talking to the Christian, he's talking to the believer, and look what he says in chapter 1, verse 13. He said, "In whom ye also trusted," talking about you and I trusting in Jesus, "after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." So when you believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you were sealed. The Holy Spirit put his mark on you. And so here they are. The devil has a mark. The book of Revelation talks about the mark of the beast and all of these things. And they tried to put their mark, their seal, on this resurrection tomb. It didn't work. It didn't work then. It won't work today. Well, we're going to see multitudes and multitudes saved, born again before the coming of the Lord. I believe that we're going to see a great harvest because James chapter 5 tells us that Jesus is the husbandman. He's waiting for that harvest. And it's time for you and I to run to the resurrection where we can help others run there and be ready for the return of the Lord. But let's look at a second witness. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, he said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Oh, there's going to be a day, and that day is getting closer, heartbeat by heartbeat, moment by moment, it's getting closer. And so we are sealed. You are sealed. And you need to tell the devil, "Hey, I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit." You can keep your lies. You can keep your false bill of goods. I'm not interested in it. And that seal that you put on the resurrection tomb of my Lord and Savior, it didn't work then, and it's not going to work now. And so we need to hold on to that reality. We need to be in that place. So they went in Matthew 27:66, they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now, I want you to be in the place and the position where you, anything the devil has done and is trying to do against you, no matter what the contradiction of the covenants you have with God, you stand with God. Let God stand with you and allow him to, in his timing, in his perfect timing, work everything out and show you that all is well. It's going to work. So let's look at some things. So we see here that there was a rock and a reality. The reality was that Jesus wasn't in that tomb, but the rock was keeping people from being able to see that, being able to understand that. Look, in Mark chapter 16, we've got where the ladies are coming to that tomb, and it says, verse 16, Mark chapter 16, verse 1, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, the mother of James," and we'll talk about Mary Magdalene in just a moment, "the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him," might anoint Jesus. "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun." Verse 3, "And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" Now, don't you love it? They were done thinking about what was going on, and they were done trying to figure out how they could get in there to honor the Lord. They were going to honor the Lord. They were going to anoint his body. So even though they didn't have the faith, they didn't have the understanding yet that death could not hold Jesus, they loved him so much that they wanted to bring that. Verse number 4, Mark 16:4. "And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great." Now, let's think about that. They were trying to figure out how to get in there. So there may be some rocks in your life today as I'm here with you and you're with me, and where two or three are gathered together, the Lord is in our midst. Now, when we ministered this Sunday morning, there were some areas that the Holy Spirit specifically wanted to minister to, and I believe that they're still fresh. And it could be very mindful for you and I to take heed to the unction that we're feeling in our spirit right now. One of those things that people deal with is grief. We have been through some very hard times these past 3 years. There's been a lot of people who have lost a lot of family due to COVID, and there've been separations, and whether it was in life and death, or whether it was in dividing because of mandates and all of these other things. And so you may have some lost opportunities. There may be some times it seems like that they have slipped away, and you may be controlled by grief. That may be something that the Roman and the religious, they may have put a rock there and all of those things. But you and I need to know that it's not too late in the sense of the eternity, what our God can do, what he has in mind, what he has in store, that for those who love him, he has things for us that I have not seen, ear hath not heard. It has to be revealed, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us, by the Holy Spirit. So let's go on down into Matthew chapter 28. Let's reread our opening text. Notice what it said. It said, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene. Now I want you to mark this down in your mind's eye. And the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now, Mary Magdalene. Mary, of course, from Miriam in the Old Testament, meaning bitter. And these two Marys, they are bitter because they thought they had lost their Lord and their Savior. They thought they had lost the one who had changed their whole life, who had touched them and gave them a destiny. But Magdalene, if you fully translate it and you take it all the way back to the Hebrew from what town that Mary was from, her name means a tower. From its size and its height, but figuratively, her name means a pulpit. A pulpit. This excites me so much that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's using these ladies, he's giving them a pulpit. Mary Magdalene, she's going to preach the first message. She's going to preach a resurrection message. She's going to bring hope to the disciples, and she's going to cause Peter and John to run to this tomb, this rock that has been put there by the Romans and the religious, the reality that looks like death has destroyed the plan and the will of God is going to be swallowed up because this rock is going to be removed, and they're going to get to run, and they're going to hear this message that she preaches, and they're going to come to faith. And they're going to be used foundationally in the start of God's church. How exciting that is that God is using these ladies in this way. Because think about it. We'll talk about that in a moment. That is a major change. Verse number 3. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Not just a little earthquake, but a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and what? Rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. How exciting this is. Our Lord and our Savior, anything that would try to stop him, he has the authority not only to remove it, but then he sets upon it. He has this, his angel to set upon this, to showing that it has no place, no position, no power, no authority whatsoever. I can just imagine what that was like and what that done to the devil and all of his imps, how it rocked hell when they roll that stone away. Verse number 3, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. Now, why is this happening? Because the rejection of those who follow Jesus, the rejection especially of these ladies, they're having no rights and their role in society. And all those men as well that followed Jesus at this time, they were looked down upon. They had no education. We read about in the book of Acts, it says, hey, these are unlearned and ignorant men, but they have been with Jesus. They took note that they had been with Jesus. And so you can see here in your life today, some people may not respect you. You may have been rejected. They may not think you have any right to do what you're doing, that you don't have a role in the last days before the coming of the Lord. But that isn't what the Lord Jesus Christ has called you to do. He hasn't called you to listen to man or to succumb to man or to bow down to man. When you and I bow down to the Lord, when we submit ourselves under the mighty hand of the Lord, he said he would exalt us, oh hallelujah, in due season. I believe right now there's an anointing, and there's some people hearing this word afresh, anew, like never before, and they feel the hand of God coming upon them and lifting them up and setting them in a new place in God's will. If you believe that, if you accept that, if you receive that word, say, Lord, I take it as my own right now. In Jesus' name, let it be. Now, as we look here in the powerful word of God, it says in verse number 4, and for fear of him, this angel, and of course we know that there's two together. There's one that does the talking, but God always sends two by two. in one form or fashion or another. But his countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, verse 4, the keepers did shake, becoming as dead men. Now, what happened? If you and I study this out from the Greek, these ones who are going to take custody, that were going to place a rock to keep people out of this resurrection tomb, they had their own personal earthquake, because God sent a great earthquake and rolled back this stone where people could see in this resurrection tomb. And they had their own shaking. This shaking is the prime of the word earthquake from the Greek. So the same thing that rolled that stone back, it rolled the things off of their heart. It gave them an opportunity to see that Jesus Christ is alive and well. They did fear. They had a reverence there, and they fell as dead men. Why did they fall as dead men? Because the Bible's very clear. Whatever you and I sow, that's what we're going to reap. And they were trying to keep people from coming to Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 11, what is it, down about verse 25? I am the resurrection. I am the life. They were trying to put a rock. The Romans and the religious were putting these rocks and to keep people out. And so they fall down in fear, in reverence, shaking, having their own personal earthquake as dead men. Verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women. Now, that's why we read that in Mark 16, because the women were talking about who's going to roll the stone away. How are we going to get inside this tomb? And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Don't you love this? This is so very, very powerful. All through the Word of God, from Jesus, from His messengers, fear not. Fear not. Anything that causes you to fear, now we reverence the Lord, don't get me wrong, but anything that causes you to fear is of the enemy. Verse number 6, He, talking about Jesus, He's not here, for He is risen. As He said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. See, that's the key right there. The Romans and the religious, they wanted to put this rock. They wanted to take away the reality of the resurrection, and they wanted people to live in the reality of the past. No, God is doing a new thing. We're not under the law. We're in the dispensation of grace. We're living in the new covenant. Hallelujah. And He says, come and see the place where the Lord lay. That's what we need to do right now. We need to tell everybody, okay, you don't believe that Jesus is alive and well. Well, come and see. Check it out for yourself. Jesus Christ will prove Himself. He will reveal Himself, because He's not willing that any should perish, but they should all come to repentance. Verse number 7, the angel tells the ladies, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see Him. Lo, I have told you. Oh, how powerful is that? He said, lo, I have told you. Now, can you imagine here the responsibility, that the confidence that the Lord has in these ladies? He has utmost confidence in them. And I want you to know right now, under the sound of my voice, the Lord Jesus Christ, He has confidence in you. He has a plan for your life. He has a will that He destined from the foundation of this earth age that He wants you to accomplish, that He wants me to accomplish. And it doesn't matter about the rejection of the past. It doesn't matter about not having certain rights, having roles that were diminished or taken away. No, you need to be in the place and the position whom God calls, He anoints. And when He anoints, wherever He sends you to, with His guiding hand, He'll provide. Where God guides, He will provide. So He gives this call, He gives this word, He gives this direction to them. And it is so exciting. Because at that time, I want you to think about how society looked at these ladies. I mean, even the rabbis, when they went in to pray, their prayer would start off like this, blessed art thou, O Lord, for thou hast not made me a woman. women and children, they had no respect. Ladies, you couldn't own anything. A wife could never divorce her husband. However, a husband could divorce his wife for any reason, and he had no obligation financially to take care of her. The husband simply handed her a bill of divorcement, and she was sent away. Women, they were viewed as being completely inferior to men. They were excluded from all the religious services in public, if you would. They even in private, they weren't taught the Torah, the Old Testament, and they could not testify. And their testimony would not be valid. But here Jesus is saying, I'm giving you a testimony. I am counting on you. I want you to take this message that the Romans and the religious, they put this rock in front of my resurrection tomb, but I moved it. I moved it out of the way because I'm not there. I'm alive. And I want you to go and tell my disciples how powerful that is. See, Jesus told you and I, he told us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, to make disciples. Why? Because he has confidence in you. He knows that you can do it. He knows that I can do it. So we've got to work together and be about our Father's business. Now, look what happens. Matthew 28:8. And they departed slow of heart. No. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher. Why? Because they realized this was an empty tomb. This tomb didn't hold Jesus. Nothing can hold Jesus. Heaven and earth can't hold Jesus. He's bigger than all. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher and with fear, great reverence and great joy did run to bring his disciples the word. Isn't this amazing? They're running. They're running to bring the word of God to the disciples because why? They've got something of hope. Everyone is so discouraged at this point of time. Everyone thinks that everything that Jesus had ministered about and worked for 3.5 years, they had missed the point. They couldn't receive the fullness of the message and they thought it was over. They didn't realize that this was just the beginning. This was the start of everything that God had planned through his son. So they run this race. Now let's stop right there just for a second and let's see some things. Hold your place right here and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and let's look at how Paul said that you and I were to run this race because we want to follow this example that is laid out before us. We want to take this gospel message just as these ladies did, just as the early church did, just as the Apostle Paul did. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 24. He said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain." So Paul is talking from the natural point of view, the natural perspective here. There's only one winner. But you and I, when we start running the race of the Lord, when we run to the resurrection, when we make people ready for the return of the Lord, we're all in that place of receiving a prize. Verse 25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Verse 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." Verse 27, "But I keep under." In other words, I bring my body. I bring my body. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I'm a slave driver. In other words, I walk in the spirit where I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I drive my body down. I don't let it control me. "I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others that I myself should be a castaway, I should be rejected." So they did run. They run with this message. Well, you and I, we've got a message today, but we've got to run. And as we run, your flesh, my flesh, is going to try to hinder us, to try to keep us from being in that right place. But we've got to run this race looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. Quickly turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run, there it is, let us run with patience, cheerful endurance. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Think about that. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what Jesus done for us. And so now you and I, we can, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So we can pull from that truth, that reality. We can look to the author and the finish of our faith. We can run this race with cheerful endurance. We can follow this example that is laid out before us, and we can succeed and do what God called us to do. Amen. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 28, and let's see what happens here. Because they decided to take the message, but they decided to obey and be in reverence and honor what was gave to them, and they wanted to sow that truth into others' lives. Verse 9, Matthew 28:9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now, can you imagine what a reward here? They're getting to see Jesus. And that's the way you and I are. If we're missing out on further revelation, we need to come back and we need to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, let the Holy Spirit show me the last thing that you said to me, the last thing that you taught me, the last thing that you commanded me to do. Did I not complete the task? Did I miss something? And when you and I come back and we do our part, God will always do his part. So if everyone that I talk with, I counsel with, and they tell me, hey, I just can't hear from the Lord. I can't get a revelation. I can't get an unction. I can't get a direction. I always take them back to the last thing they heard. Because when you and I fulfill that last thing, when we're in obedience to the word of God, guess what? Jesus is going to appear to you. He's going to reveal himself to you, because he's going to be the shepherd and you're going to be the sheep. I'm going to be the sheep. We're going to hear the shepherd call us out by name. He's going to lead us, and he's going to take us from glory to glory to glory. Verse 10, what did Jesus tell these ladies? Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Come on, that's the message. Don't fear. Yes, we see what's happening to the American dollar. We see what's happening to our economy. We see how they're manipulating medication. We see how they're manipulating our food supply, our food chain. We see all of these things happening, but we don't trust in man. We trust in the Lord. Psalms 118, you know, we put our trust not in man, but we put our trust in the Lord. That's our hope. That's our confidence. Be not afraid, and go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. See, when you and I, when we're in the place that God tells us to be, we're in that place where we can hear, we can see, we can receive, we can get that next piece of information. See, the Lord met them and he gave them hope with his instructions. Are you in a place today where your hope is fading? Know that since you've met the Lord, that you understand his resurrection, that he has more word for you, but you must be willing to help others. And as you help others, you're really helping yourself. When I help others, I'm really helping myself. We're helping ourselves to be hopeful in his return. See, Mary, we don't have time to look at it, but in the Gospel of John, that account there, if we did have time to look at that, what happened? She was weeping and crying, and she didn't know where Jesus was at. And she saw someone, and she thinks it's the gardener. And she said, if you'll tell me where you laid him, I'll go and bore him. I'll take care of his body. I'll get it. And when Jesus called her by name, he called her Mary. And when he called her Mary, she said, Rabboni, master, teacher. In other words, Jesus is in John chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. He's talking about that you will know him because you're going to know his voice. And when he calls you by name, there's a revelation there. There's an unction there. So he called Mary by name, and she got this intimacy with the Lord. The Lord wants to have intimacy with you. But at the same time, when you and I are in that place, just think about it. They got a word by the angel. They got a supernatural message. They got word by revelation and unction that would take them out of their rejection, out of their situation of not having any rights, their role that was limited. They got a word from the angel. Then as they go in obedience, they get to meet the messenger himself. They get to meet Jesus. And as wonderful as that is, and as great as that is, you and I right now, it's just me and you and the Lord, and we're listening to the Holy Spirit teach us. We're listening to this word come alive. It's not just letters laying on a page. No, Jesus Christ is this living word, and he's our living hope. But he said, where two or three were together, he'd be in our midst. And this is wonderful. But the moment that you and I leave this atmosphere, we're going to step out into a real world, and we're going to meet real opposition. We're going to meet the Romans, and we're going to meet the religious. We're going to see the rocks, and we're going to see the reality of all of these things. And the devil is going to try to steal, kill, and destroy from you. But you've got to hold on to what God has showed you, what he has spoke to you by his spirit of his son in private. Because notice what happens. As soon as they leave Jesus, Matthew 28 and 11, now when they were going, so they've left that presence, they've left that intimacy of that moment of that encounter. Behold, some of the watch. Now remember, what did we say this watch was? Custodia, where we get our word custody. Some of the custody, these Roman sentry, came into the city, and they showed unto the chief priest all things that were done. So what happens? They start the father of lies. John 8:44, the devil is not just a liar, but he's the father of lies. They start concocting a message that will try to put a rock back over the tomb, that will try to sow a fable, a lie that will keep people from coming to this truth. And so these ladies, they saw that. And so you can't go by what you see in the natural. You can't go by what you hear in the natural. You've got to go with what bears witness in your spirit. Let that lead you. Let that guide you. Let that direct you. Let that be your hope and your confidence. And then if we'll do that, we'll never fail. We'll always be in the place of success. Because the devil, he always wants to bring into bondage. But you and I, we've got to stay in that place. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Hallelujah. What is it? John 8:36. We've got to live in that reality. Now, there's so much more here, but we don't have time to look at it. You study this out in your home study time, and think about the Romans and the religious, the rocks and the reality. Think about the rejection, the rights, the roles, all of those things. And see how God wants to use you in this last day. But you're going to have to go in the hope of the Lord. Yes, we go in faith, but you need the hope of the Lord. I want to close with this illustration. There's a group of scientists, and they were trying to figure out how human beings, how some survive situations and circumstances, sicknesses, illnesses, diseases, different things, attacks, accidents, because some of them had a different attitude than others. And so like scientists always do, they went back to the animal kingdom. And so they had a family of rats. And they took this one rat and they placed it in this tub of water. And after about 45 minutes of treading water, this rat just completely gave up and drowned. Now, they didn't stop the study there. Then they took another rat out of this same lineage, out of this same family, and they placed it in the water. This time, that poor rodent, it had been swimming for about 35 minutes. It was near exhaustion. It was just getting tartar and tartar. And the scientists, one of them reached down in there and rescued that rat. They let that rat rest. They gave it some nourishment. And they waited after a period of time, and they placed that same rat back down in that same tub of water. That rat, it kicked and swam for hours. Why? It had hope. It had hope of being rescued. It didn't give up as easily. See, that's what hope will do. It had felt somebody reach down its hand and pull it out of that drowning water and give it an opportunity to live. Now, I want to compare that to where you and I are at today. You and I were in this world, but we're not of this world. And the Apostle Peter, he talks about hope. And I want to read you two verses of Scripture in closing. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it talks about in verse number 6, it says, wherein you greatly rejoice, jump for joy, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. You're going through a lot of temptations, a lot of trials. But he tells us then how to get through those temptations, through those trials in verse 13. And that's what I want you to hide in your heart. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope. Mark it down in your mind's eye, highlight it in your Bible, highlight it in your Bible out. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, you and I, we have been revealed. Jesus, if we've believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit revealed the love of God to us. And the Holy Spirit knocked on our heart's door and showed us Jesus Christ in that sacrifice. And we confessed Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit baptized us into the body of Christ. And we become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. So you and I, we were drowning. We were a slave to sin. We had no hope. We had no possibility. We were walking dead. But now the mighty hand of God come into your life. It come into my life, just like that scientist reached down and picked up that rodent. And then that rodent was able to tread water for hours. You and I, we're going to be able to tread water until the sounding of the trumpet, until the coming of the Lord. We're going to be able to, because why? Our hope is not in ourselves. We're going to gird up the loins of our mind. We're going to be sober. Be sober means don't be influenced by taking something from the outside in. No, you're influenced from the inside out. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Those first triune levels of the fruit of the Spirit is inside your spirit. So you can be sober because the outside is not going to influence you because you have hope. You're going to hope to the end for the grace. See, the Word of God tells us that God's grace is sufficient. From the Greek, it means it is enough. God's grace is going to take care of you. God's grace is going to take care of me. So on this resurrection day, let's keep running this race with patience. Let's have hope and confidence in Jesus. Let's run to that resurrection tomb, and let's take others to that same tomb and show them that Jesus is not there. Let's get people ready for the return of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for this time that we've had together in your word. We ask that you would just touch and draw people right now. If they have never accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, help them just to repent of their sins and turn from their sin and turn toward Jesus, and help them just to boldly say, Jesus Christ, I repent. I repent of all of my sins. I renounce sin. I want a change that only you can bring. And I ask you to come into my life and be the Lord and the Savior of my life. I will follow you in Jesus' name. But maybe you've come to the tomb and the Romans and the religious and the rocks and the rolls and rejection, all those things have hindered you. Let today be the day that you hear a fresh message from heaven, and let all of that stuff be moved out of the way by the earthquake of the Lord, by the shaking. Let your heart be shook, and then let come back to a firm foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be. I thank you for your time. I've enjoyed this time with you. Please contact us if we can help you, if we can pray with you in any way. Send us your prayer request. You can reach us at our website, gregproctor.net/VWC. We would love to hear from you there. Remember, God's Word will change your life.